Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade. There is no better group of ones for
flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla. Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. We're just a month away from BBC Gardeners World Live in Birmingham, one of the premier events for gardening fans around the country. Today, I'll be joined by Bob Sweet, Horticultural Director at the event, to discuss the Floral Pavilion at the NEC. My thanks to Wetman's Pinks, sponsors of this podcast. What beautiful weather over the last weekend, well and well into the week. I popped into Alton Garden Centre and the Meadowcroft Centres in Essex on Monday, and goodness, they were busy. People filling their barrows with all those summer flowering bedding, and zonal geraniums look to be very popular. Not really surprised, because some of these are interspecific hybrids with the not easy to remember name Calliope. They did very well last summer, and the quality of the plants on sale really is quite remarkable. You know, big, bushy, well-branched things with lots of flowers coming. And then I was at the RHS Gardens at Hyde Hall on the top of the hill, helping them plant some sweet peas. That was a really lovely morning, and I heard my first cuckoo sing. Do you know, I don't think I've heard the cuckoo for a year or two. And up there on the hill, hearing that call come across the countryside was very pleasing. And on my journey there and back, the trees in the countryside, you know, where they meet across those country lanes, the light green colour, especially on things like hornbeam and ash and oak. You know, there's the old saying, isn't there? Oak before ash, we're in for a splash. And ash before oak, we're in for a soak. Well, the oaks were out before the ash in most cases, as far as I could see. But doesn't look as if we're in for a soak just yet. The news bulletin this week for me is the opening at Peter Beale's in Attleboro of their Rosarium restaurant and extended retail garden centre nursery. It's really a very, very good place to go, I'd like to say. And if you're anywhere up near Norwich, from, I would think, the first week of June for 2 or 3 months, I would suggest you popped in. The rose gardens there are magnificent, absolutely magnificent. For Chelsea Flower Show regulars, you'll even see the ironwork that they had at two levels at one of those shows, now installed in the garden with climbing roses going up. Well, must be 8 metres, I think, perhaps even 10. And then they've got a really long pergola, again clad with roses. And all the beds surrounding are not just roses. There are good examples there of all the plants that you can comfortably mix with them. And they're growing literally thousands of different varieties. I think it's 1,100 that's in their catalogue. Quite apart from strolling around the garden, even into the wild garden with areas for kids, the restaurant is certainly worth a stop off. While I was there, I met one of the wholesale rose growers who told me that the demand this spring for roses is really outstanding. I think, if I remember the figures correctly, that they were 125,000 rose deliveries ahead at the start of this month, and he was very worried that come our Rose Festival week, the last week in June, they could be sold out. Certainly the quality of container roses available now is remarkable. They've increased the pot size. You get 3 and 4 branch, really strong growing plants that will perform very well even in their first year. I do encourage you to plant a few roses. I don't think there's anything to touch them. Get them planted in good soil, well prepared, and they'll see you out. You know, they'll certainly last 30 and 40 years, given the right kind of treatment. I mentioned last week a bit about watercress, and we've already got some growing in classrooms, and very effective it seems to be. I've managed to find some grape punnets, the clear plastic grape punnets, some with holes in the bottom and some without. And if you get 2 of the same size and just put something in the bottom of the waterproof one that lifts the other one just up half an inch or a centimetre or so, and then put a piece of wool through the holes, the lower punnet acts as a reservoir, and that pulls the moisture up into the compost in the container with holes, and watercress grows very well in a couple of inches of compost, and you'll have several cuts. If you're having a quick cheese sandwich and you just want one or two stems of watercress, then you can just snap them off the windowsill. I think we'll have some fun with the kids growing this, not just on the one school, but lots of other schools with luck. Back into the garden and apples. As the petals fall, you'll need to keep a watch to see whether the codlin moth are on the wing. Lots of people inquire how they can stop getting maggoty apples. Now, putting a grease band around the tree doesn't do any good at all. That's to control the winter moth caterpillar that just eats the leaves. If you want to control codlin moth, then really one of the best ways is to get a trap. Companies like Agriland do them. And there's a pheromone that attracts the male codlin moth. And of course, it goes into the trap, gets stuck and is killed. And that reduces the population quite a lot. It won't eliminate the maggots in apples, but it will reduce them considerably. If you want to eliminate them, then once you see lots of these little black moths in the trap, then you'll need to apply an insecticide to control them. I think you're safe now to put a bit of a straw or dry grass under strawberries just to stop the rain splashing mud up into the fruit. We have advised that you delay doing that, because if night frost is forecast, the soil releases a bit of warmth and reduces the frost damage. But I think you can get on and do that. And of course, if you've got an unheated greenhouse or even a sheltered south-facing wall, you should be able to start planting now all of the tender fruits, cucumbers, aubergines, peppers, tomatoes. I've started to plant them now into my polytunnel. If a frost is forecast, it'll need to be several degrees of frost to check growth undercover. And if it is forecast, then you need to go out and put fleece around those plants just to give that bit of extra protection.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My guest today is Bob Sweet, making a return visit, and I'm hoping that Bob's going to update us on what visitors can expect at BBC Gardeners World Live at the NSC in Birmingham the second week in June. How's things going, Bob?
Well, Peter, as you know, this time of year is manically busy from the gardening point of view on all fronts. And at BBC Gardeners World Live, we're very, very excited this year. We're very, very excited because we've got this fantastic pyramid coming into the show. We had a debut of it last year with just Garvinias, but of course this year it's got so many plants that I've lost count, and I'm hoping you're keeping up count to tell us just how many it's going to have.
Well, I'm losing my nerve a bit, but certainly we're over 80 new plant launches.
Wow.
Which is just unbelievable, and not just anything. Most of those are really quite significant new plants coming onto the market. But really, what I wanted to know was what's going to be surrounding us, Bob?
Well, of course, the floor marquee is always just full of the most beautiful plants that you can imagine. And we've got more exhibitors, more nurseries in the floral marquee at BBC Gardeners World than we think at any other British show. So numerically, we're very, very strong. And of course, amongst them are some massively excellent quality nurseries. People, for example, like Dibley's with their Streptocarpus. I'm thinking, if you like ferns, there are a nursery called Fanatics who are extremely well known for their expertise and just the brilliant range of ferns that they have. And every year, Fanatics do so well, often bringing the Best in Show Awards. They don't exhibit at Chelsea, so it's a good place to come and see them at Gardeners World. And more locally to Gardeners World, there are companies like Fibrex, well known for their vast collection of pelargoniums. Of course, we have Bonsai, Mendip Bonsai, quite probably the best bonsai nursery in the country, have some staggeringly old plants. And if you like your carnivorous, we have, again, one of the best carnivorous nurseries, Hampshire Carnivorous, are there. Now, that's just a few. altogether, we've got 96, so I won't attempt to go through them all.
96 nursery trade exhibitors.
Yes, there are. And can I just say that, of course, amongst those are people who are very seasonal. John Wheatley made an appearance last year with his dahlias, and he's back again this year. But we also got seasonal plants like peonies in the show, and some fantastic colour, whether that's through clematis or whether it's through alstroemeria or so on. And roses. Peter Beals is there with roses.
I'm glad you mentioned Peter Beals, because I was up there in Attleborough on Saturday morning. Boy, the wind from the east was cold. real bank holiday, May Day holiday weather that was. But they've opened an extension to the plant nursery and garden centre. Got an absolutely cracking restaurant, I have to say.
Well, have they? Yeah. Oh, excellent.
I've still got my mouth watering from the breakfast I got there.
I've not been there for 2 or 3 years, so I haven't seen it recently.
Oh, you'll see a difference. But the gardens there, Bob, they're magnificent.
Are they?
Not just roses. I mean,
well, Peter Beals, of course, specialises in growing quite a number of the older traditional varieties of roses, and they're always a great company to call on as a first call if you're looking for something that you can't normally get in a garden centre. They often have stock of quite remote things, really, and it's a joy to be able to still source them.
Yeah, well, I was walking around, obviously checking roses. Quality of plants was fantastic, and I came across one called Rachel. My granddaughter happens to be called Rachel, so yeah. I could buy her namesake rose. I think he said that Ian, I was speaking to the manager there, that they list 1,100 different kinds of roses.
Yeah. However do you keep tabs of all that lot. I really don't know.
No, I don't. I just marvel at them. But then we've got other people. I mean, there's Brookfield with hostas. I mean, they'll have a collection which runs into hundreds, presumably.
Very, very good, yes. And, again, got some lovely hostas. And even though it's been a cold spring, I have seen Paul's plants just recently from Brookfield, and they do look amazing. So, and he's got some lovely, I quite like the variegated varieties myself, and he's got quite a number of them, and some which are quite different to others, which is always nice.
Well, we're going to sneak one onto the pyramid that he hasn't seen. we've got a variety called Sorbet, which is variegated, but which has red stems. I think first time that we'll have a hosta which not only has lavender flowers and variegated leaves, but it has not quite red rhubarb-like, but quite red petioles.
Well, that's going to be very, very interesting, as I'm sure so many of these new introductions are. And I think probably if you're a visitor, one of the worries you have about new introductions is how reliable they're going to be. And I've got to say, I was very, very privileged in being able to try out some of the Garvinias that were shown. And I'm amazed how they've gone through the winter. They flower for, well, I've got to say, in my case, they flower for 8 or 9 months. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, but you're quite warm, aren't you, down there in Torquay?
We are indeed, yeah. Yeah.
I brought, I think it was 40 back from Gardeners Wildlife last year, and they're planted in a border at Rittle College, and I think 2 have failed. The other 38 are all growing away.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And will be in flower for the second year, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I think at the show, there's some interesting nurseries. Those who are interested in trees, we have Bluebell Arboretum and Nursery who exhibit with us at Gardeners World, and they don't generally exhibit at other shows, so it's a great privilege that we've got Robert Vernon in the show, and he always has something unusual on his stand. And my word, if you get talking to Robert about trees, it's a very hard job to pull away because he's just so interesting.
Yeah.
And of course, Barnsdale Gardens are a fixture at Gardeners World as well, which is only a good and right thing with their connection. Nick Hamilton is a great supporter of the show, and we love seeing him there.
Yeah. Now, we've covered fairly well what's happening in the pavilion. What's happening outside? Because there are gardens and all kinds of things outside that big floral display.
Well, since 2016, Peter, we've introduced wheelbarrows into the show, and the wheelbarrows are from Birmingham schools. This year, we have nearly 40 wheelbarrows from 40 different Birmingham schools. All of those wheelbarrows are planted with great affection, and we've called them meal barrows up to now because they have had to contain a portion of edibles. But this year we're changing them to travel barrows, and we're leaving it to the imagination of the schools to think of a country and think what they can grow or have in the barrow which relates it to a country of their choice. So we're waiting with bated breath to see some of the things which come along. Now, a number of the schools have contacted us and asked whether they can put coconuts in the barrows and whether they can...
Don't need a high temperature to get those germinating, won't they?
They will.
Have to have it in the bath with them. Yeah.
And other exotic fruits, and some have wanted to use cacti and so on. So I think their imaginations are running riot about the number of things that they can include. And I think that's good. It's good for us to change the theme, and it's good for there to be that connection this year.
Have wheelbarrow wheel travel. What?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We also, in 2016, introduced what we called Beautiful Borders into the show. And beautiful borders are manageable spaces, manageable by those who are either students or charities or those who are attempting to do a display at the show for the first time. And we started off with a grand total of 9 of the borders in 2016. This year we have 30, and so the numbers are more than we've had at any previous show by far. And it's been interesting how so many different charities have decided to come into the show. They find it a great place to talk to visitors. We do have some students coming in, and we also got some experienced garden designers. We have people like Wildlife Trusts bringing borders in. We've also got the Gurkha charity represented this year because of one of their celebratory years. And I think that it's really, really nice that we've got this great collection of borders into the show. They are working to a theme called My Space, which means that they can again use their imagination to bring anything which has a particular connection to them into the show.
What I like about this border idea is that the average visitor, you know, the ordinary homeowner, can actually see something of a dimension which they can really, you know, compare with what they have at home. When you have these very big show gardens, well, they're theatre, yes, but they don't really help the average homeowner, do they?
No, they don't. And in fact, the borders are sort of about roughly 7 to 8 square metres. So, as you say, Peter, they really do relate very much to a sort of average semi-detached house, a small part of the garden. And a lot of these are actually planted or grown with very, very modest budgets. And it's just brilliant to see how much people can, what people can do in such a small space.
Well, I mean, the budget thing, that's another whole ball game, isn't it? It drives me balmy now when I hear designers spending $100,000 or $200,000 on a garden. Who's got that kind of money to spend, you know, on the backyard?
I think, you know, we see the extremes in show gardens, don't we? And it's no great secret that some of the show gardens at Chelsea are costing £300,000 to £400,000. And also we see quite a lot in shows, some are the sort of big, bold things that we see in the landscape nowadays, either massive boulders or a great use of gabions or steel structures and so on.
Bob, don't tell anybody, but I hate them.
Well,
to take in that heavy lifting equipment, you know, with pneumatic tyres that stand taller than me humping about in the West End of London. I mean, it makes no sense. I think they should insist that all gardens are designed with wheelbarrows, you know, back to the school kids. That's the way we used to do it. What do you need great big lifting kit for?
Very much so. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it was the Alpine Garden Society that started all of the outdoor garden, certainly as far as Chelsea was concerned, with their work on the rock bank. But it's what I was going to come round to say is that at BBC Gardeners World Live, one of the litmus paper tests that we give to every application we get for a show garden is what is the take-home message and what element of this garden could you actually use yourself at home. And we apply that very, very strictly to the gardens we have in the show. So everything we have in has got a good element of take-home in it. And this year we are really pleased that we have back again into the show 5 gardens by the Association of Professional Landscapers. They've supported us every year since 2016. But this year we have a record number of show gardens. We have nearly 20 in the show, and it's just gone from strength to strength, and we're delighted with that. But every single garden will have elements in it, or even the whole garden, that people can relate to. There's probably just one exception to that. Derby College are there with quite a massive garden that they have designed with their students, and it's their students who are some of them mature, some of them are hoping to qualify, and it's going to be quite interesting because it's very much a collective garden of a theme of what they have wanted to do, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the dynamic nature of the garden, which at the front of it will have four horses treading through water, but I hasten to add they're not real, but they are full size.
Bobby, if people listening haven't yet bought tickets, are there still tickets available, and how do they lay hands on them?
Yes, of course there are. The show is open from the Thursday the 13th to Sunday the 16th of June. And tickets are available for all of those days on the BBC Gardeners World Live tickets website. We would look forward to seeing as many people as possible who want to come along to the show. It links and combines with the BBC Good Food Show, which takes place and is accessible on the same ticket. And the show is open from 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock each of those 4 days.
Bob, I look forward to seeing you there. Have my fingers crossed that we clad those five pyramids satisfactorily.
Peter, I'm looking forward to seeing you, and I hope that you're going to be so awash with plants that it's going to be a colour spectacular in its own right.
What's on? Well, it's Chelsea Flower Show next week, and if you've got tickets, it's my advice that you arrive late and stay late. The best time, really, to move about freely is the last hour or so on each of the show days. I suppose the other alternative is to get there very early and be in pretty quick. But I've always found that the late arrival is the one that has the easiest movement around the show. Essex has its own flower show at Highlands this weekend. An amateur gardening magazine is celebrating its 135th anniversary. There are some interesting things coming up in that magazine because they're reprinting pages from the past. About a month or 5 weeks ago, they did a thing on supporting sweet peas and suggested that the sticks or canes weren't vertical or sloping inwards, they should be sloping outwards. And apparently this was a system that was suggested way back in about 1900 or 1910. We're growing some sweet peas up sticks and cordons at the RHS Gardens in Hyde Hall, and I think we might have a bit of a go at that, training one lot outwards. I can't really see the merit. They say the stems of the sweet peas are straighter. Well, we'll have to suck it and see. My thanks to Wetman's Pinks, sponsors of this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.